live and wondering what TFC made betting on Insigne being shit over 2 years.
Yeah, they actually didn't. He was trying.
He was trying.
They weren't actually doing a bit. They weren't trying to con anybody.
Oh. It's the Vocal Minority Podcast.
I know. I mean,
we would know bits if anybody. Oh,
that's
They didn't make any money out of it. They literally just spent the money and then watched him be shit. Didn't get any of that money back. What the fuck, guys?
Business.
Yeah.
Business. They serious businessmen.
Businessmen. They business so hard over there. So hard.
Oh, no. All right. Well, hello and welcome to this week's episode of the Vocal Minority Podcast. The podcast that may occasionally places a cheeky dollar bet on something, but come on, people. Oh, dear.
We should start betting on our own podcast. Mark, you're into the gambling. Is there anything out there on the...
Everybody has this pegged at
We should bet on coming in under 90 minutes.
No. That time, Kristen, that over-under is an hour 47, okay? And it's
every
episode, all year round. 147, you should check the run times of like the last 20 episodes. You'd be like, oh, he's not wrong. Let's see if we can get under 147. Spoiler alert. Probably not, but we're going to fucking try. We really are.
Oh, dear. On this week's show, we look back at how the WNT did at the She Believes Cup. Spoiler alert. Probably not as bad, perhaps, as you may have thought. Look back at a very surprising result in Cincinnati for Toronto. Catch up on some CanPL news. Look at a little bit of NSL news. We're going to talk about a couple more than one academy this week. I'm so chuffed about this. Indeed, discuss the gambling habits of MLS players. Dun dun dun. Look ahead to the TFC home opener. Who still has their seat cushion?
You do.
Who's not a proper fan?
I'm not.
So you should have thrown them both. They scored three goals that day.
I wanted to keep one. Well, I'm sentimental.
Yeah, who's not a proper fan? Who's not a real supporter, Kristen?
I wasn't in the supporter section at that point in time. I didn't count. Although it was fun flinging it off that deck, I gotta say. Anyway, and a little bit more. Now to this week's panel. Joining us, somewhat reluctantly, as always. Yeah, he's feeling enthusiastic tonight, I'm guessing. Welcome to Duncan Fletcher.
It's nearly 9:30. We haven't barely started. This is preposterous.
Love you. Yeah. Delighted that we're not going to talk about an ugly kit this week. Say hello to Mark Hinckley.
There's always time to talk about ugly kits. Now it's just not one of them.
Exactly. As for me, I've decided that I hate sports and that soccer is stupid.
not wrong.
It's not influenced by anything at all in my day. No. I am your host, Chris Knowles, and now to the show. God, that was stupid, though. All right, what's been happening? Indeed, the women's national team at the She Believes Cup. When last we met, they had two. They had not one but two matches coming up. And while they did lose against the Americans, they did not get destroyed against the Americans. Progress. A 1-0 loss is a moral victory, goddammit, and I'm going to take it. It wasn't a great game, but it wasn't a terrible game. I honestly was surprised at their defensive capability within that match.
Yeah, I mean, they looked competent.
Yeah.
Large
swaths of that game, there was competency on display. I was surprised. But pleased. And yeah, I think, did all of us watch that match? I feel like everybody watched more or less.
Definitely
some of it at least. Mm. I would have preferred that they held on, you know, for the clean sheet. I also would have preferred to not see Awuzo leaving sick, but apparently half the team had been sick, so that wasn't great. But yeah, this is a vast improvement over last summer's matchup against the US, in which they got, you know, they got beat easily. I think it counts as progress. Again, a loss is never fun, but like you said, Duncan, they looked competent, and I will take a very close competent loss over looking confused and getting your ass handed to you. You know what I mean? Like, I think, especially given how they've looked this last year, like throughout this tournament in giant quotation marks, throughout the She Believes Cup, I feel as though this is the best they've looked in some time over all three matches.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I feel like the lack of final third creativity, it almost like it felt desperate in this, you know, the 6 to 12 months leading up to this. Like, it just, there was just something missing. I don't know if they kept tinkering with the formula. I don't know if there were too many injuries. I don't know why, what was happening, how it was happening in front of me. But in this one, they started to look like they had a plan. They were all working together. Their heads were on a swivel. They were making great passes, making great runs. And the thing that I always like about a team is when they don't give a shit who they're playing against. And against the United States, they kind of looked like they didn't really, like, they knew who they were, but they weren't like scared of them.
Yeah.
And that whole, when I was saying about once the floodgates open, then that's usually when
things fall apart for them.
Things fall apart specifically against the United States.
Yep.
And, you know, they conceded and that floodgate never broke. Like, that, if anything, it was just a typical hard-fought football match where nobody's head dropped and they were still going for it. It was very comprehensive. That's what I will say. Very comprehensive performance.
Yeah.
Maybe could have been a little less squeaky bumish against the in the last game, but I'll take it. I will absolutely take this.
I was wondering, and I said this to somebody during the, it might have been you, Mark, it might have been in one of the group chats, in terms of like knowing that there had been an illness going through the camp and through the team that had kept players, you know, Jesse Fleming didn't play, Awuzo having to come out, and on the goal, or at least on one of the, I think it was on the goal, or lead up to a decent attempt anyway by the Americans, Holly Ward, who's usually so quick down the wing, and you know, that's one of the hallmarks of her game, is, you know, she's a terror. She's just a menace up and down that wing, right? And she got beat, and she got beat pretty easily. And I didn't see any commentary from Casey Stoney afterwards, but I couldn't help but wonder if she had been ill, if she was fighting off the illness and playing through a kind of thing, because she did look a step slow. She really did. And it wasn't her normal sort of, you know, a bit of the vim and vigor that, you know, you sort of associate with her game. So not as an excuse, just as a, okay, that might be part of why maybe they need to be sick to play more defensively solid. Everyone just stay still. But unless you throw up on the pitch, everyone just stay right here.
Fair. Everybody get your sickies out now.
Yeah, exactly. Does everyone have their sick bags? I, again, you never like to see them lose, but as we've said, I prefer this type of loss where both teams, you know, both teams were in it. It wasn't that Canada wasn't trying. It wasn't that Canada wasn't, they weren't just like absorbing pressure from the US. So that was a nice change of pace. And then the final match for them on the Saturday, which I did not see because I was at work. So I've only seen some highlights, but did both of you watch or watch some of it?
The Argentina game? Didn't see any of that one, no.
No, just caught highlights, unfortunately.
Okay. Well, that's all right. But this was, you know, this was a nail biter in that it went to kicks. And Kaelin Sheridan had to, you know, put on a performance that maybe some people didn't expect from her. Because she's looked fallible, you know, this last year. She's still the number one keeper for the WNT, but hasn't always looked as sharp. But also the other options for the national team, one is injured, two are injured. One has barely played in the, you know, like there's, this is something that they're going to have to work on in the, you know, in the lead, in the build up to next year's World Cup, is getting one of the backups actually ready to play behind Kaelin, because she can't be the only option. And right now she kind of is. Now, again, she, you know, made two saves to make sure that that Canada won that match, came in second in the table for the tournament. And, you know, it's stopping two penalties. That's pretty great. Mm-hmm. You know, props mm-hmm. to you for that.
Can't complain.
You know, so it would have been nicer, of course, if they had scored and didn't have to go through all of that. I believe our friend Rich commented somewhere that Canada used up all their goals against Colombia.
Possibly true.
Possibly yeah. true. Jordan Heidema's status was not helped by having her penalty saved. So there was that. But yay, Jesse Fleming was back. That was nice. Also, she scored her penalty, as one would expect. As did Julia Grosso, you know, penalty expert. But yeah, this was a nice, in you know, there was at least, it was nice to go out on a win, and to come close to, you know, winning the tournament. They weren't going to, but at least a solid second, a competent second. And again, looking decent across three matches, I think is important.
Absolutely. I think they kind of needed to make a bit of a statement where they just didn't look like, well, we're still in the malaise of, again, the last 6 months.
Yeah.
And mind you, they may have used all the good words of that statement in that first game. They also, like, again, they looked like they were playing for each other. They looked like they were working hard. And again, like, that's all I want. I want to show me some fight, win or lose. You have me, right?
Yeah.
And that's what I saw a lot of that in the two games and the highlight packages that I watched. It's like, this is a team that's refinding that momentum, that headspace that made them kind of a realistic but outside threat, you know, to any tournament that they entered in, you know. So hopefully this is the, they can walk away from this and kind of recharge that confidence that they were lacking, and put the rest of the, I was going to say the region, but just put everyone on notice. Like, oh, by the way, that was an accident before.
Yeah.
And we're kind of back. So don't be fucking with us. Looking at you, Costa Rica. Looking at you, Mexico. Looking at you, was gonna say South Korea, but they're still pretty good.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're you know.
So I do wonder. I'm gonna throw this out here as a question as well. The last year as well has been marked by a lot of absences by Casey Stoney, as she's had family issues to deal with her mother and everything. So she's largely been away from the squad. There's been, you know, that's upheaval when you don't have a consistent voice, and you know, she's there, she's gone, that kind of thing. Is this also a good, again, it's just a small tournament, it was only three matches, but perhaps this is a sign of things to come if they can have her there consistently as the manager. You know, it looks like, you know, the sadness with her mom and everything, but that she's back and doesn't foresee a need to step away again in this coming year leading up to the World Cup and everything. So do we look at that as part of a little bit of a resurgence, you know, that to have a steady hand there, to have it consistently there as well?
Yeah,
I mean, again, this is a small sample size, right? It's hard to say, but
right. But I mean, you could probably draw a fairly comprehensive argument that their lack of form could have been due to the either physical or just mental absence of their coach. Even if she wasn't there, you're thinking about her because she's, you know, you buy into her leadership, her motivation, her tactics. It's entirely possible that, I'm not going to say all of it. That would be unfair.
Completely.
But it could be significant enough. So, if this is like resuming service because, you know, she's. It feels unfair to say she's focused now because family tragedy. Like it's not fair. But assuming you don't know what her absences were, you just know she was just gone.
Yeah.
You could say that her absences either maybe a very little directly, but definitely indirectly affected their performance. And now that she's back and she's invested and committed and resuming the service, resuming the regimen, resuming the tactics, resuming those relationships to get her to buy into what she's doing. So yeah, I would say this is a building block.
Yeah, that sounds about right. There's some good performances overall. And it's just, okay. It's like, things were going off the rails a bit. And it's okay, this is better. So, yeah, a building block. Do I think, hey, we're about to be sort of crushing the world? No, but...
You know, oh, no. The Canadian Women's National Team at the World Cup, you know, like this is always filled with trepidation. It's like world beaters. Oh, at the World Cup? Oh, no. So, you know, hopefully next year is better. And hey, DB Pridham has her passport and actually played and everything. Yay.
Woo.
I know.
Ding woo.
All right. Well, congratulations, women's national team, on a decent, solid performance. Well done, you. Speaking of decent, solid performances.
Come on.
I still can't. I watched this and I still can't believe what I watched.
You have visible evidence and you still
I know.
Can't.
It's because no one would have called this. None of us did. We wouldn't have. I can't think of a single. Anyway, TFC had their third away match of the season before the giant homestand that is about to start away to WKRP FC. And they won. Not only did they win, they kept a clean sheet.
Yeah.
1-0.
Mm-hmm.
And not only did they win and keep a clean sheet, but the other team lost.
Oh, and they didn't even score.
Right? Like, there's so many moving parts to this thing. Blow my mind.
And, you know, talk about the game against, like, Canada against the US. Like, oh, you know, they look competent. And, you know, sometimes you can just sort of, like, squeak out a competent, like, 1-0 win without actually looking good. But, well,
oh,
you know.
No. But Toronto looked good.
They did actually play well in this one.
Yeah, I know. Created
a few chances. Scored one very nice goal. But did quite a few good things throughout the game. It was...
Yeah. It was largely
disconcerting.
Yes, that was a complete match from them. Like, that's the thing. It wasn't they played well for a half. They played well pretty much for 90 minutes. Like, it was, it's very confusing. It's very confusing. I'm happy because yay. I am enjoying, I'm enjoying George Michael a great deal. And I said to Mark that I'm wondering if the George Michael we were seeing at the end of last season for Toronto, you know, like that's who we'd been waiting for since he joined the team in the summer. He has just taken some time to round into form because since the season has started, he has been one of the bright spots and he was very good on the weekend. Yes, Richie Larea had a very good match, made team of the week for team of the week. Did he make starting 11 of the week? I don't even know. Anyways, Richie got lots of plaudits for his play, as he should. But the defense looked good. Shout out to the new defender. Official. Ooh. Also, now this is interesting, and I saw a lot of people mentioning this when the starting 11 went up and as the game went on, and Toronto did not fold in on itself and things continued to look good throughout the pitch for the most part, was that neither Kobe or Legs played.
Yeah,
that's something to do with it. But
that probably did.
Yeah,
I mean, I
like them both. I do, but I'm also,
I'm a fan. Even with the illegally short shorts, I'm a fan. And really gratuitous use of baby oil. I mean, come on, bro. Come on. But like I've often thought that they're just. They're almost there. They're almost that finished MLS product, which is not an insult. That is that is a job. That is a professional job that you can have all throughout the other 31 outlets of MLS soccer in your neighborhood. And they're just so close to being it. And they'll have good games and then they'll have games where it's like, and unfortunately, last year was kind of like, if you're going to shine, guys, the stage is yours. And they were looking like they were getting there. And I'm not going to say I'm not trying to imply that they're done. They're not done. What I'm saying is that back line needs to be shored up. The midfield needs to be shored up. And if they're not a part of it when it does get shored up, they are on the bench.
Yep.
And that.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I know it's only one game.
I know it's only one game, but the difference, like it was so noticeable.
I think the other thing that I was trying to convince myself of this is like, were TFC really good or were Cincinnati middling? And every time I wanted to convince myself Cincinnati was middling, it wasn't that they were bad. Toronto had their fucking number.
They really had
their number for long chunks of that match where they were marking them all the way back to the center line. I don't know if I've ever seen a Toronto defense push a team and their control back over the halfway line because they just took away every passing lane with whoever had the ball. And I was like, who the fuck is this? I was shocked because it was they were possessed and in a, like when you're your team, that's good, right? So good.
Although Mark,
yes,
and Duncan, although I don't know if Duncan would have. Were you watching on TSN or on Apple, Duncan?
Was it on TSN?
Oh, maybe it wasn't on TSN. Then
I was.
Last
I tried.
Week was.
So then we all got to, and I use this word completely in the opposite meaning. Enjoy the commentators filleting of Josh Sargent.
Oh my God! He wasn't even in the country.
Can you imagine if Josh Sargent was here? That's the kind of ball that Josh Sargent would have scored. Josh Sargent loves those sorts of balls. If Sargent was here, holy motherfucking shit,
look,
you guys!
Look!
Oh my God! Like, are they being paid by the name drop? Like, was there a bonus in their contract to see how many times you could fucking say something? Like
it was a it was so much. Imagine so like much. You're going out, you're hanging out with a bunch of, you know, a bunch of your friends, and you're having a really good time, and then somebody says, imagine how much more fun you'd be having if so-and-so was here. Like, fuck all the way off, guys. We're having a good time. Fuck you. Can you save that for halftime? Do that back in the studio when nobody gives a shit and they've gone to the washroom and they've put it on mute. That's when I want them to do it, when I don't give a shit. Not while they're commentating the actual goddamn match.
I don't care
about players who we've signed and oh my God. They're not here. This team needs help. So this you guys gushing about it, like it's almost like they were trying to say, it's like, yeah, but in episode 6 this gets really good. It's like, asshole, we're on episode 4. Who are you selling this to? This is sports. This isn't Walking Dead. Like, fuck off. Anyway, I'm just,
yeah,
I forgot all about that, Kristen, until you started it. So
yeah, it's legit. Talking about halftime as well.
Yeah. Like,
Apple, all right, I guess you don't have advertisers. Sure.
Oh, God, that endless loop of madness.
Yeah, that just one endless loop of thing telling you to watch MLS on Apple. I'm already watching MLS on Apple, you fucks. Right? How do you think I'm watching this? Go fuck yourselves. You know, if you don't have adverts, you don't have sponsors, do a 15-minute halftime show, you lazy fucks. Don't
honestly
just show us this again and again and again and again and again.
And it's bad music too. Like it's I smashed the mute button so fast and so angrily because when I forget, I'm just like, oh, my ears, I hate this. Yeah, it's bad. I think they're hoping. I don't think they're hoping. They are hoping that you're going to jump to another match for 15 minutes and just, you know, continue to be entertained by the sparkling MLS play. No, we got stuff to do, man. We either want to watch a halftime show, or we're going to go to the bathroom. We're going to go get another drink. We're going to get a snack, whatever, you know, like.
Going to turn on Savannah Bananas, see how they're going.
Yeah.
30 minutes. I'd rather watch 20 minutes of that than 20 minutes of that fucking loop.
Loop. Oh, it's so bad. It's so bad.
Just anyway. put on like a abbreviated version of one of your shows that you push down everyone else's throats. Give me something else other than that. Seeing this. Same. Also, whenever they cut to the clip where the Toronto South End is in slow motion.
Oh yeah.
Part of me always goes, I wonder how many times they told them you weren't allowed to do that until they realized how good it was actually for the club.
Yep.
Like, oh no, you can't be doing that. And it's like, here, advertising, like the hypocrisy of, no, we don't want flags and banners and smoke. And then it's like advertising, flags and banners and smoke, it sucker. Like, whenever I see clip of the South End, just the South End. And I say that to those of you who are in the South End who listen to this, I mean this utterly, completely with respect and support. Genuinely. It was whenever I see corporate use your images and likenesses and actions, I always revert back to, you fucking hypocrites are still doing this.
Yeah.
It's just, you've probably stopped blanket harassing the entire South End about it, but you know there's someone going, that's kind of dangerous. You know, like, shut up. Just shut up. Enjoy it. Anyway, that triggers me. Weirdly triggers me every time.
Fair.
And it's on for a 15-minute loop.
A couple other things to sort of call out for this match. You know, there's been, you know, over three matches, or at least over the first two, Some general, you know, there's been some concern about Gavrin's play. But I do want to call attention to that stunning save he made. And that was a very good save. That wasn't an accidental save. That was a very good save he made about halfway through the second half. The new defender, who we alluded to last week, who was indeed signed like the next day or something, Kusevich, looked good. Raheem Edwards got a start. Monlouis got his first start of the season. Actually, first minutes? He's been injured, right?
I think so, yeah.
And Emilio also played. Looked solid. No, I'm not attempting his last name right now. Leave me alone. And then Walker Zimmerman left the match injured. And I will, like, props to him for being, he called for his own substitution because he'd been hurt in a previous play and then was like, no, I can keep playing. But then not all athletes will do this. Not all players will do this. Put his hand up and was like, no, something's not right. I need to come off. And so Lazar apparently, but I will continue to call him Lazar because that's way more fun. Stefanovic.
Major Lazar? That one's for you and Tony, who used to be on the show.
Oh, that's so good.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Oh man, suck it, Tony. You don't get to hear that.
Suck it, Tony. You wouldn't even make it this far in the episode if you were checking in on that beach shit.
As I said, maybe he listens.
No, yeah, right.
No, he doesn't.
Like, that guy knows how to use the internet. Come on.
Anyway, but Stefanovic again looks solid coming in as the sub. So there was some good thing. Again, I will give George Michael a shout out for playing defense more than once.
Yeah,
he was instrumental in breaking up a Cincinnati attack and doing it competently. And that was the other thing: the TFC defense never panicked. Or rarely panicked. I shouldn't say never, but there was more than once where I was like, I was waiting for them to, you know, do the panic, you just get the ball out of anywhere. And then they would calmly pass it somewhere. And I was like, what are you doing? Who said you could do that? Oh, but that worked. Okay, never mind. As you were. I know, again, small sample size. It's just one match. But it was nice to see. It was nice to watch Toronto play well and be competent as we've been asking and do the little things. And I was glad to see Robin Fraser make some wholesale changes to his lineup, actually. Yes, some of that was new players and players coming off the injury list, but that's good to not wait. Be like, you're good, you're healthy, boom, you're in, let's do this. And that worked. So we'll talk about the home opener later on in the show, but that was nice.
Good times. Friends made along the way. Feel good story of the year. 5 stars.
Yeah. Also, suck at Mike Hudson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We know you're listening.
Of course he's listening. He's probably messaging Tony right now about the shit I said like 3 minutes ago.
Mark and I will know the second that Mike gets to this part of the show because he'll text us.
And bless you, Mike. We deserve to be hear from you because of that.
Yes. little Campiel news with a little bit of TFC flavor to it. Supra has a new assistant coach. Welcome to the Campiel, Laurent Simon.
Too fancy. Too fancy. No, you have to go. I'm sorry. You gotta go.
Okay.
I know I adored him and feared him at the same time. And I'm pretty sure at least Kristen did. I'm pretty sure you did too, Dunk. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I forget. It was a while ago.
Crazy.
But
you never knew what he was gonna do.
You never knew what he was gonna do.
The 2-footed tackle.
Now he's gonna be a fucking assistant coach. I can't handle this. No, he's gotta go. I only want no name brand management Like, I will accept, like, somebody's brother, you know, like, there's a couple of them in the league.
Oh, that's
Hi, Inter
funny.
Toronto manager. But the actual guy, no, I'm sorry. I hope it's a coup for them. Like, really, genuinely, though, I hope it's a huge coup and he just manages to instill that chaos that he did into his side. But that's a name I did not think I would ever see in Canadian soccer. So
Well,
that's.
but he's like he's lived in Montreal for the
I
last
know,
decade.
but he
But
also
like
could
he
live
lives
other places too. I'm not saying he's got to leave. That's not what this is about. What I'm saying is, like, oh, I had a great time. See ya, going home. And then he leaves.
Yeah, no, I think like once he's like he played for Montreal, right? And then, bopped around a bit, but ended his career with Toronto.
Yeah, he's
And
another one on the list of we all talked about. Oh, well, because maybe Omar Gonzalez. Yeah, Laurent Simon should I be on that? Oh, he's maybe good. Yeah, no, he wasn't. Matt Hedges as well. There's so many options for cautionary tales for Walker Zimmerman, and they just picked on Omar Gonzalez repeatedly.
I
I'd
genuinely
forgotten
forgot.
about Laurent Simon, and yeah.
I forgot. Yeah, I forgot Simon played for Toronto.
Yeah.
Because I'm still like mesmerized, traumatized by him in Montreal. And to be fair, the Omar Gonzalez comparison is that should be its
Yeah.
own title.
Yeah.
Like, you at this point, like if we thought about it for a good 15 minutes, just the three of us, we could probably add three more names to that list. Like, and they would all be dead accurate. Like, yeah, the Omar Gonzalez position. Yep. Oh, yeah, that guy. Yes, definitely that
Oh,
guy.
holy shit, forgot about that guy, but yes,
Yeah. That's I don't know if that's a thing in other clubs, but that's definitely a fucking thing here. So.
But anyway, he was he's been an assist he was an assistant for several years, for 3 4 years with the cheesemakers. So yeah, he's Super's newest coach and should bring, I don't know, it'll be interesting. I think this is kind of a coup for them actually, to have someone who's played internationally, who's played throughout North America, who obviously has, the roots in the roots in Montreal that Super is looking for in terms of player background and that sort of thing. So yeah, I just this will be fascinating. And what I also sort of liked was I saw an interview on it was probably on Instagram with Rizaghi, which was entirely in French, and I was like, yes, perfect, I love this. It made me very happy. And I was grateful for the subtitles so I could read it because I read French better than I hear it. But I was like, good. Do your interviews in French. Keep it up. Annoy people because some people will be annoyed by this. They shouldn't be, but people will be. And I am here for Supra's this aspect of their thing. It is the least interesting thing, but I'm also here for it because I just like to watch people be angry for stupid reasons. Because then I can make fun of them. I admit it. I'm petty. It's fine. I'm allowed to be petty. Okay, congratulations, FC Supra, for getting a new cool coach.
Yeah.
A Belgian coach. York Six. Doing a little academy player development stuff. Congratulations. Inter Toronto establishes fully integrated professional pathway in milestone step for player development. Yes, that was the breathtaking title on the CAMPL website. Anyway, they've expanded their pathway program. They're formally establishing, a development structure. They're having they've been slowly adding pieces to their team, which is again is a great. We always want to see. I think academies are important. I think it's important for teams to, have a place for young players and to nurture that. Hopefully, all of these teams do a better job with it than Toronto. By Toronto, I mean TFC, not Inter Toronto. But the three squads, which are cleverly named Inter Toronto 2, 3, and 4. I know, revolutionary. Will compete in the Ontario Premier League. God, it's still really weird calling it that. It just automatically my brain goes League One Ontario. So they will have a presence there. They've got U13, U14. Like this is great. I'm really happy to see this. I'm happy to see a commitment to player development from another one of the teams, you know, as part of the pathway, as part of the Canadian soccer pyramid, however tiny it may be right now, this helps it to grow. And this sort of thing is important. So yay.
Great.
Mm-hmm. Definitely a good thing. Yes. And we'll see how it goes. You know, it's York 6. So, theoretically, that's, good idea.
That's true. On the next Excellent. Rebrand, who knows what they'll be called.
Yeah.
But yes. But moving on to NSL, and speaking of Toronto-based teams, AFC Toronto builds for the future, launching new professional academy. They are also 2 years in, year and a half in, because their academy is launching this August. They announced today the launch of a fully funded professional academy, marking significant events in da 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 da. Anyway, this is, again, very exciting, and great to see an NSL team already taking that step. They're looking, you know, youth academy 14 to 18. This is exciting. Mark Maunder is the director, is the academy director. Mark joins the club following 14 years in senior technical leadership roles in Toronto, and an intimate knowledge of the Ontario soccer community. I watched a couple interviews with him. Seems to know what he's talking about. That was nice. But no, again, this was just an exciting thing to see, regardless of what they do with it initially. But I think it's great that an NSL team is already jumping on board with this and already managed, you know, has it fully funded, has the investors for it. Obviously, AFC Toronto, you know, they're probably one of the sexier teams or whatever, right? So they went to the final. Like, they've got, I'm sorry, rest of Canada, but if you're in Toronto, it helps. I apologize. But they will also be, players are going to be selected through a club identification process. No open tryouts. And, you know, I'm 50-50 on that, but we'll see.
I think at this point it's, Duncan and I would like to announce our academy.
Yeah.
we were waiting for the right time, and apparently it's now. Yep. Yeah, we got an academy.
Go on.
Player development, blah blah blah.
Yeah, pay to play.
Yeah, 100%. Uh-huh. But like a pathway. How many times are we supposed to say pathway again? Was it three? A pathway into a professional pathway, career pathway. And yes. The pathway system.
It's the way to go if you want to be on a path.
You
might call it a pathway.
Yes, you might.
One might.
So yes. for more information on Pathway Academy.
The Pathway Academy. The Professional Pathway Academy.
Oh no. That's
for later. This is an amateur Pathway Academy.
Kristen, that's step two. First,
a pathway. I apologize.
You want professional pathwayism? That's a 5-year development. We'll announce that later.
Yeah. Okay. The first step of the Pathway Academy is we're going to get a bunch of kids in to build a pathway.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. We've got these cute little shovels for kids between 12 and 18.
Yeah, we've got cement mixes and everything.
They're going to develop.
Yes.
Oh my God. So develop.
Yes. Then once they've built the pathway, oh, that's when we.
My God.
Yes.
The potential is limitless, Chris.
It really is.
I would say the sky's the limit, but the pathway's on the ground. So it's
the the horizon is the limit.
The ground's the limit.
The ground is the limit.
The horizon is the limit. Yes.
To quote Mean Girls, the limit does not exist. Come on.
Sure.
Yeah, but that we were going to say that, but we translated it into Latin. And that's going to be on the badge. So thank you. Spoiler alert, Kristen. Thanks. But anyway, I don't even, I don't, my Latin is terrible. But yeah, yeah. So I'm glad we could slot that into all these academies being announced. It's good. That was good. Sorry, Duncan. I didn't know if it was okay. I just
yeah. No, it's a good a time as any. It's yeah. a good a time as any, Mac. We got to get this path going. And yeah, let's do it.
A lot of arrows. A lot of wayfinding.
Everyone, send applications for your kids to Tony Walsh at vocalminority.ca.
That man knows a path. Let me
tell
you.
Yes.
When he's not listening to the show, the piece of shit. So.
Oh, no. All right. Well, speaking of paths, you sometimes regret the path not taken. And the inaugural coach of the Calgary Wild is taking a new one. Lydia Bedford has left the club after just one season as the head coach of Calgary. And she's been appointed the head coach of England women's U23 side. So she's heading back home and will be part of the youth national team setup where she'd already spent some of her coaching career. So, you know, said all the right things about privilege to lead Calgary Wild, et cetera, proud of the foundations, so on and so forth. But this is not an opportunity that she can pass up and understand, you know, like that's, I do get that. It will be. I don't think Calgary has said if they have anyone in mind just yet. But, you know, the season's starting soonish, so they got to get on that. But congratulations to her. Sinead McSharry is the interim person in charge. So we will see what happens after that. But interesting. Oh, yep. She's looking forward to building a talent pathway.
Do you have her contact information?
If you just don't put pathway as the name of this episode, I'm going to be sad, I think.
Well, I already put it as Omar Gonzalez's position, but I guess, yeah. I guess, you know what, Duncan? Let's just rip this right off and just promote ourselves. So,
yeah.
Okay. Pathway Academy. Okay.
Oh, no. Oh, I love you guys.
I mean, how many academies out there need to have pathways built? I mean, our pathways.
Some of them are just in a field, Dunk.
Yeah.
Some of them
are just in a field. This literally has to be a growth industry.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely.
Trailblazing, except it's no it's fire. We're just laying paths.
Literal trailblazing. Oh,
yes.
Dear. Also, Kristen, if you call your academy Trailblazing Academy, we're suing. We're just right off the top.
But I thought we were all friends.
Oh, we are. But this academy business. Is like
that had so much menace behind it. Oh, we are. Smolder, smolder, smolder.
Yeah, yeah. Except.
Oh, dear. All right. Let's move on from this. We don't have much that we're going to talk about this week. In fact, we've moved everything around so that we can focus on just one thing. And that is the announcement in the last day and a half that two players were banned for life by Major League Soccer for gambling on soccer, including bets involving their own matches. I shouldn't cackle evilly, but oh god, y'all are so dumb in this day and age.
It's so funny.
So Derek Jones and Yaya Boa both placed on administrative leave in October, pending a review of potential violations of league rules. Investigations show that the players engaged in extensive gambling on soccer, including on their own teams during the 2024 and 2025 seasons, including one instance where the players bet on Jones to receive a yellow card, which he did. Both players were with the crew at that point in time.
How much money do you think you had to bet it got flagged?
Right.
like, how I would love to know how much is actually bet on, you know, prop bets on.
Oh yeah, prop bets are wild, player. Right?
But like, how much betting do you think takes place on MLS yellow cards such that it's like, you know, hey Steve, somebody put $10 on this. You know, like what's
suspicious?
What's the amount, right?
What's the line? What's the flag there? I do think
this kind of brings up an idea here. Pick a player you don't like. Any player. Pick a player.
All right.
Right.
Oh my god, Duncan, why are we not fun of this?
Somebody give me the name of a player.
Felipe.
He's not even in the league anymore. Jesus Christ. Oh. Besides, he gets. Anyway, pick random player you don't like. Brad Guzan, whoever. And
That's good.
Yes, let's just go out there and put $5,000. Brad Guzan gets a yellow card. That's going to be suspicious. A lot of people are going to be going there and asking a lot of questions of Brad Guzan. They're going to be getting right up in his business and fucking with him for weeks to figure out why the fuck someone's putting $5,000 on him getting a yellow card specifically.
Oh my god.
Oh my god.
I think we've just fixed the personnel issue in this league. Okay.
Sorry, go ahead, Mark.
No, I was going to say, I'm willing to divert some of the Kickstarter
Pathway Academy
to picking a player, and we're going to do this to them.
And ruining their lives.
Yes. But it has to be somebody who's a known piece of shit. Okay.
Is Clint Dempsey still playing? No, never mind.
Jesus.
Why didn't we know about this then? One of the things that, with all of this, other than the, oh my God, how are you so dumb? Things that I find interesting, you know, and again, like anything that Don Garber says is basically trash, but one of his statements, you know, the league will continue to enforce policies and enhance education efforts and advocate for the elimination of yellow card wagering in all states to protect the integrity, blah, 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 blah. So,
okay, because they won't pick something else.
Exactly. They'll pick something else, but also soccer. Take a look at your fucking disgusting rush to partner and embrace and literally just like fuck any betting company to get their money over the last few years, last decade. Like everything is sponsored by a betting company of some kind. In some cases, more than one. Like, just seriously, like, I'm not blaming the victim, but I'm a little bit blaming the victim because you helped build this. You fucking encourage this. All this, like every broadcaster, every league, but like soccer is rushed hard into this. Like we've talked about this many times. Like the scourge of betting adverts everywhere and every single thing that you watch or see these days, but certainly within, again, soccer is a prime example. And again, it's the one I'm going to cite a lot because it's the sport I watch the most. I watch a bit of baseball, I watch a bit of basketball, but I see it there too. There's always this is the blank bet, you know,
yeah,
call of the day, or you know, like, and And it's in everything. The fuck did you think was going to happen? Like, people were already doing this. People in the studio
putting together a trifecta for you. Right? Yeah.
Yes, this exactly.
This is halftime entertainment. We're all going to talk about the bet we made. Yeah.
So what the fuck did you... What education? What education? You're educating people to do this. You are normalizing this. You are encouraging this. You are glorifying it. You're glamorizing it. You're like, oh yeah, no, everyone does this. Yeah, here. Oh, it's just a few dollars here. And, you know, in small print, you know, bet responsibly, you know, use your da-da-da. Fuck you. Like, fuck you. You bastards. Absolute money-grubbing bastards. You don't care how you get your money as long as you get it. And if people mm-hmm. get hurt along the way, you don't fucking care. There's someone else you're going to get your money from. So these are hollow words, and this, I'm angrier about this than I realized. I think it's funny that the players were that dumb. Like, obviously, it's so stupid. And you throw away your careers. That's a stupid thing to throw away your career for. You guys had solid MLS careers. And again, you're not millionaires, but come on now. But this sort of thing is why we talk about the issue of how betting has been integrated and normalized and encouraged across everything, because this is the shit that happens continually and worse, and y'all are assholes for supporting it and promoting it. I hate it. So that's Kristen's soapbox for the day. I'm just gonna be over here finishing my drink.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no further comments, really. It's always been bullshit. It was always going to lead to this sort of thing and will continue to lead to this sort of thing. But,
mm-hmm. Yeah, like this is to say it's like the tip of the iceberg is I feel like where it's going to be surprising is when it gets blown wide open and ruins the whole fucking thing. And there's a part of me that can't wait for that, because then it gives a chance for it to be built properly again, but also that would destroy a whole bunch of things. I'm with you. I'm tired of seeing the absolute infiltration of gambling houses left, right, and center. And the fact that I can name 10 different ones is fucked.
Well, they're all running through my head right now. I hate it. Yeah. What's Declan Hill doing right now?
Yeah, so anyway, I just can't, I can't.
Yeah.
I can't.
Yeah. Anyway, so I honestly, dear listeners, curious as to your thoughts on this, whether you're as angry as we are, or whether you think we're blowing it out of proportion, or if you know, again, we do find some humor in this, but yeah, it's just when you get the really hollow, baseless statements, you know, that mean, again, they mean nothing. Sure, ban the players, and that's fine. I don't disagree. I don't think players should do things like that in any sport. That's why the constant attempt to, you know, rehabilitate Pete Rose, I'm like, fuck you. No. Yeah. I also just don't like Pete Rose, but admittedly, but you know, even if it was a player that I liked, I'd be like, that was really fucking stupid. You do know better. So I'd be curious to know what people think about it.
All right, Kristen, hear me out.
Yeah.
So what if we did it to Don Garber? just throwing it out there, you know, like, let's just lop off the head of the monster. That'd be the best $5,000 I don't have to spend that I'd ever spend.
I was gonna say, I'm trying, what's the limit on my credit card?
I literally bet like two, almost $3 at a time, and we'll table this for later, but I think that is a great villain to fucking think.
Yeah, we can make this work.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
We'll talk. We'll definitely talk. All right. What's coming up? What's coming up is the TFC home opener. The first of 9 matches in a row at BMO Field for Toronto.
I'm already sick of it.
9 matches, all of them at 1 p.m.
Oh, my God.
Who's going to miss pretty much every single match this spring for TFC? This girl. Why? Because she's working. Because they moved all the matches to 1 p.m. The other times were delightful because it meant I could go. So, yeah. That sucks, quite frankly. Also, I'm salty about missing the home opener. Why? One, I hate missing home openers because I like to go to those matches. Two, I want another fucking seat cushion, goddammit. Yes, that's right. The seat cushions are back, and they're leaning into this so hard. Like, I'm wondering if they're fashioning, like, they're just not aerodynamic at all. They have no weight to them. They won't, I'm trying to figure out, or they just, they've hired extra people for that match to clean up the seat cushions for the inevitable game delay. I don't know. I'm trying to figure it out.
They're probably putting up the field goal fences for,
I was just going to say, it's just going to be netting all the way around.
So if you're sitting in the first row, congratulations, you're going to get about 40 of these things. Or you're going to get those weird, like, cuts from the vinyl just slicing past your
ears. I was just thinking that. Yeah, man, those suckers hurt.
Yeah. I think, you know, where they're going with this, you know, it's been 20 years or so.
Yeah.
Sure, but it's been 20 years. Technology has advanced, and they've now developed the boomerang seat cushions. So, yeah, go ahead, throw it. It's just going to come right back and hit you, you fuck. Ah.
Right? Hit you right in the ass.
Also, yes, I am never cheering more for TFC to score 0 goals than I am for this upcoming game.
That's fair. That would be funny.
It would be, you know, like the Raptors getting stuck at 99 points.
Oh, right. And, remember that game we were at?
Yeah.
And they did, and we were cheering so hard for them not to score. Because nobody got pizza. It was great.
It was very entertaining.
That was so entertaining.
Raptors win and get booed off because they didn't
get the last 2 minutes. People were so mad. It was so funny. God, that was a fun game. We had good seats. We got to see that ridiculous occurrence.
Uh-huh.
Oh, that was so much fun. Oh, well, God, that was ages. Was that like 10 years ago? That was a long time ago. Anyway. It is the home opener, and yes, Toronto are leaning hard, as we've mentioned many times, on the nostalgia factor for this season, 20th season for TFC, so expect some callbacks, the seat cushions. One I actually didn't expect that they would go back to, but and it's hard to replicate such a spontaneous moment, but people will enthusiastically whip these things, whatever happens, I'm sure.
I mean, I can't help but think if, you know, whoever it is, like New York, get a corner, whoever goes to take the corner is going to get these things thrown at him, which not ideal.
That's a good point.
The goalie gets injured and he's just kind of like lying around on the floor and everyone thinks, oh yeah, you're fucking faking it, aren't you? He's going to get cushions thrown on him. There is a large potential for chaos here.
And yes.
If TFC score early on, hey, it's all good. People can throw them. Some people want to keep them. But if it goes like to zero into like the 70 or 80th minutes.
Oh, people will start getting angry. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. People are going to start throwing them for no reason at all. It's going to get ugly.
Like, yeah, just to stop the game or whatever. Yeah, for sure. This game also, again, other than marking the first in the very long homestand leading up to the World Cup, is the return of Michael Bradley. He is the coach of Red Bull New York, Red Bull New Jersey, the energy drinks. I don't know why I cycle through all three every single time. I'm still adjusting. I apologize. And this one's interesting, right? Because there is certainly a large swath of TFC fandom that really liked Michael Bradley and respected him when he was here and were upset to see him go, wanted him to transition into coaching here, not go elsewhere, and now certainly not be returning as the new head coach of the energy drinks. So that part's interesting. It'll be interesting to see the welcome. I expect that he will get, I'm expecting an ovation, actually. I'm expecting applause.
Yeah, I think it'll be positive overall. Yeah.
And then the question of the team he's coaching, he's taken a very interesting tack with this team, and he is not just featuring or giving some time to, he is giving major minutes to some very young players, and just recently signed another one, if I remember from looking on their homepage or like from their academy. Their leading goal scorer is 17, I think. How old is Hall again? I think he's 17. He's quite young. Julian Hall is he's 17. He'll be 18 soon. But currently the leading goal scorer for Red Bull New York.
Kristen?
Yes.
Who's in second in that list? Nobody.
Nobody. He's their Nobody. Only goal scorer.
He's their only goal scorer. So if we put $5,000 on a yellow card for Hall.
Yep.
I have nothing against him.
That's just science right there.
Yeah. He's a young kid. You know, he gets a lot of questions. It's really going to put him off his game. And hooray. Excellent plan.
Master strategist here.
Yeah.
Woo!
Yeah.
Anyway, they are they're fourth place right now, two wins and a loss, but like again, Julian Hall is not their only young player. I don't remember who else is on here. There's
a bunch of them. I don't know details, yeah, but I've seen the thing saying, oh, hey, kid.
Yeah, there's like
New York's playing tons of fucking teenagers.
Yeah, and literally, like, yeah, they're all like 16, 17, 18 kind of thing. Like it's a whole, again, this is focus for this season is really, you know, a youth movement. Then sure, that's super interesting. Mm-hmm. Not against that at all. As long as I still do find it weird to see high school students playing in any major sport. Do you know what I mean? I always find it a little concerning just based on teenager brains and lives and things like that. It always feels like a lot, talented or no, right? I'm not negating kids' talents. I've certainly celebrated youth players before, for the men's national team, the women's national team, within sport, that kind of thing. But anyway, that's a very large conversation, but it's just one of those things that jumps into my brain occasionally. So, what was I trying to look at here? That didn't open the right tab. That didn't help me at all. But so this is an interesting match. Toronto are coming off of obviously, that very nice win against, Cincinnati. Energy Jinx are coming off of a 3-0 trouncing by Montreal. So they're, you know, they had two strong matches and then terrible match against a team that hadn't looked so great to start the season. So that will be interesting. Toronto will obviously be looking to start the homestand off on a bright note. This also sees the return of Jakeel Marshall-Ruddy. So, you know, we're fans of JMR, but it's, you know, speaking of Montreal, cause he, you know, he ended up in, with the Energy Jinx via Montreal. So, that was a trade that happened fairly recently. And he's been, you know, he plays, he's across the first three games, he's played regular minutes with them. Still a pretty young player himself. He's only 21. But yeah, this is, I think this is a, honestly, I think this is a good match to start the homestand with for Toronto. Just in terms of sort of an evenness of opponent. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think, I don't know, like Michael Bradley might have a bit of an in having played in Toronto, but he hasn't played with most of these players. So he can only go so far with insider, you know, inside baseball kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I find this one interesting. Like matchup wise. What do you guys think?
Sure. Should be interesting. No idea what to expect. But yes, let's go with interesting.
Yeah, I'm just kind of riding the wave of a one game win streak right now. And in that game, I saw the thing that I felt that they were capable of in game one. And it's like, okay, so I don't like, I'm trying to temper expectation. I'm trying to get to a point where I'm not like, oh my God, they're going to fucking kill him. Like, I don't want to get my hopes up too hard, but at the same time, if they go out and play like they did against Cincinnati, against Red Bull, Red Bull are going to have their hands full.
Mm-hmm.
So, I admire what Michael Bradley is doing, a youth movement that not only do they have confidence in the talent that they have, but the ability to use them and build upon them. Stares at TFC Academy for now 2 decades.
I was just gonna say, yeah, it's like that's an endless stare.
That's
yeah.
Not a today thing, everyone. We
no,
all know
that's a constant stare.
Jaquiel Marshall already did just fine. Look at him now.
Yeah, yeah. As I've said, Doug, you gotta leave to get good, apparently. I feel like that, yes, it is, I mean, definitely an interesting matchup just because Michael Bradley clearly has got an experiment going on that's kind of sort of working so far. I mean, it's what, game four for everyone? But we're starting to see the fruit, the trees bear fruit of the Robin Fraser era and, you know, getting to a team that looks like what he wants it to be. And starting to play in a way that looks kind of fun. I'm looking forward to this match for sure. Because I don't think I don't think it's going to be a loss.
No, before we move into like player to watch and maybe a little more analysis, I do need to mention something. So Toronto FC, put a little thingy out that I missed yesterday somehow about the 2026 programming schedule. This is similar to the 12 million emails I got from Hamilton about their theme nights. Holy shit, Hamilton media people. One email would suffice. I did not need three or four of them.
I got it three or four. I'm not even media.
Day, for fuck's sakes.
Guys, I'm a ticket holder. Guess who's going?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I'm not your target audience. Thank God you didn't have to waste a stamp.
Oh, Jesus. But this is interesting. So this is similar, except for this doesn't mention anything after the World Cup. This is all stuff leading up to the World Cup. But there's a series of fan-focused initiatives and programming planned. Blah, blah, blah. Milestone year, 20th season, World Cup, yada, yada.
Not a single pathway. It's bullshit.
No pathways at all, but
garbage.
This is important. This is important. So for the home opener, Toronto FC's 20th season will feature the following key programming and events. They're big on the word programming. I need them to stop using it. I feel like we're a TV show.
It's definitely
not a rerun.
No, this is definitely not sports. It's now entertainment, guys.
Fans are invited to rally together and kick off match day with the march to the match, beginning at Liberty Village, just in general. But led by TFC alumni, I'm going to let you guess who the three TFC alumni, and if you don't get one of them, you're lying.
Dwayne DeRosario and
thank you.
Dwayne DeRosario. The...
Sebastian Giovinco.
No.
Ooh. Oh. Is Jozy Altidore back in town?
No, no. Although he will be apparently playing in the TFC Legends match against Brazil.
Ooh.
Yes. No, think more old school TFC for this.
Okay.
Canadian.
Jim Brennan.
Yep.
Oh.
Pozniak.
Nope, think Canadian.
Pozniak's Canadian.
Pozniak's Canadian?
Yeah, I'm 90% certain of it.
I thought he was a Kiwi. Who am I thinking
no,
of?
No, no. You're thinking of
Boyans?
Another, yeah, Andrew. Oh. Another Andrew.
Okay. Chris Pozniak's Canadian? No.
I feel like anyway. He played for Canada maybe like once or twice. Like he's got in squads. Lombardo.
No, although if he showed up on his bike to do that'd be hilarious.
Chris Pozniak, born in Poland, 24 caps for the Canadian national team.
Okay. Yeah,
that sounds about right.
All right, cool.
Daniil. Sure.
Yeah, so Dero, Brennan, and Daniil will be leading the march. There's something called Winter Dome, which is a whole thing for the next... I know it sounds so fucking cool, but I'm willing to bet it won't be. And all attendees of this milestone match will receive a commemorative seat cushion inspired by Danny DiCchio's iconic 24th minute goal from 2007.
Danny DiCchio didn't make the seat cushions, everyone.
I'm like, why isn't DiCchio there?
Why isn't DiCchio's head on the... Why
he should
the
be
cushion
handing out the seat cushions.
Shaped like his head. That would be and weird.
So Winter Dome, the Winter Dome series, running from March through April. Well, that's pretty accurate for winter, at least. Winter Dome theme matches will showcase the winter identity, dear gods, that has shaped Toronto's football culture.
No, it hasn't.
I know. This is great. Oh my god. Throughout the six-game series.
Remember when they had to play in the Sky Dome because BMO Field's
winter field was
frozen? Yeah. Yep. Ooh, winter has defined us.
Winter
now.
Dome.
Throughout the six-game series, BMO Field will feature après-ski inspired fan activations. It says fan activations.
Fan activations.
Après-ski? What the fuck is that? Après-ski.
Is there going to be skiing?
No, but I pray there'll be ski.
Oh my god! But will there be boozy coffee? Ooh, see that's how that I'd be.
At what point does the language get so perverted that it doesn't mean anything anymore?
Oh, have a bunch of fire pits with the chairs around them. Muskoka chairs around fire pits.
Chairs, yeah. That sounds safe and cozy and very wintry. Yes. Anyway, there's a club and country apparel capsule.
Goddamn, things aren't real.
I know.
That sounds like a kid's retrospective. I feel like that'd be you're right up your alley, Mark. No.
Okay. Look, I already know which ones I want to see, and they'll be shit. So, I got a better idea. Make them and sell them to me, okay? And throw in a Toronto Blizzard one while you're at it, and we'll talk. Or Metro's Croatia. I'll take a Toronto Metro's Croatia.
Ooh, there we go.
76, come on.
That would be cool.
Soccer Bowl champs.
Yeah. You know we haven't mentioned that will also be enjoyed or looked upon with terrified eyes for the first time from a fan attendee perspective, and that's the new stands behind the South End.
Yes.
Are they activated?
They're so activated. Like you've both seen the pictures, of course. I've seen people, mentioning it, and people who have never been at BMO Field when those stands are up are like, those don't look safe. And we're like, they're not. Like, I hope they built them safer this time, but I could still hear the creaking. I could still hear it. It seems
at least sweet. Just put some kind of like fencing or a mural or something up around the edge of it, so it doesn't look quite as obviously. Oh, that's just a whole bunch of scaffolding.
Oh my god! Okay, yeah,
for the sake of the World Cup audience noobs that don't know what's going on, make it look like that's some kind of actual solid construction.
Yeah, the marketing opportunity. Yeah,
just put up a fake wall around the whole thing. Make it seem as if it's, oh, this is just an actual legitimate stand. It's not just temporary scaffolding. No.
whoever we know that's going to this match, Mark, are you going?
TBD.
Okay. If Mark doesn't go, whoever else we know that listens to this, please take pictures of the stand for us. I must see it. I must know. I must know if it's like the one that was behind us for MLS Cup. It was terrifying. I was afraid for people. I really was. This will be daylight. True. At least this will be daylight and not December. So that's better.
We never found those people that were lost up there.
To the wolves.
The wolves. Yeah. No, it's
oh no.
This isn't a Wolverhampton joke. Oh, real wolves, guys.
Yeah,
wolves.
Yeah. Roamed the it was
just terrifying.
So anyway. The next few months are gonna be very strange. Just with the attempt to build hype and interest for the World Cup and keep the nostalgia train running for TFC. Hopefully somewhere in there, actual good football gets played amidst all the circus and the hoopla. We'll see. We'll see. I do think we'll talk about it more the closer we get to that match, but the last match before they're calling it the global send-off game. Ooh. Barf now. On May 9th, Toronto FC will host Miami Vice in their final home match as their global send-off before the World Cup. Gross.
But what's that in activations? No. Like, I'm doing con. Never mind.
Anyway. Are
they doing like Heritage Nights again?
This whole thing only goes as far as the World Cup. So whatever they're doing afterwards, who knows?
Panama's got two games at BMO Field. Let's have a Panama night. Let's really embrace the local Panamanian community. Let's get Van Halen in.
I was going to say, we got to get Van Halen for that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, you know, like, they don't have a home match again until August. You know, May 9th, then they're away for 2 weeks while they finish doing whatever it is they're going to do to BMO Field in advance of the World Cup. And then, yeah, their World Cup happens and then they're still away. Yeah, they're not back at BMO until the middle of August. And they've got 8 home matches at the end. Their last home match is at the end of last week of October, and their last two matches are on the road. But anyway, so like that, they still have plenty of time to do embarrassing Heritage Nights. After the World Cup, it'll be fine, Duncan. I'm sure there'll be a best accent night brought back for nostalgic reasons, of course.
Yes.
God, that was embarrassing. Fun times around. We will be picking this apart with gleeful abandon over the next few months. All right, back to the actual match against the energy drinks. Other than the Julian Hall and JMR, any other players you have your eyes on, gentlemen?
I'm thinking of Julian Zakrzewski.
Oh, go on.
Go to MLS, the link that you sent us. Click on the link for Julian Hall.
Oh, okay.
It brings up Julian Zakrzewski.
Indeed, it does.
I'm very confused by this. Also, you know, date of birth, March 24th. So, you know, he's almost 18, but currently 17. Go to the career stats section. And he apparently played a bunch last season, a little bit in the 2024 season, and also 9 minutes in the 2023 season when he was
really like
14 or 15.
Wow.
So, your confusion is not unfounded because Julian Zakharovsky Hall is an American soccer player who was born for Major League Soccer Club Red Bulls. Born in the United States, Hall is of Polish descent through his mother and holds dual citizenship. He's eligible to represent both the U.S. and Polish national teams. Play for Poland. But that's also just kind of funny that
that's fascinating. The
website
actually
can't even get their shit together.
Huh. Yeah. Well, it is the MLS website. Yeah. You know who I do have my eye on because stupid fucking Cade Cowell.
I can't believe he's still a thing.
Yeah, he is.
I appreciate the fact that he will be the second best scorer on the team, and I'm okay with that. My player to watch is Matthew Dos Santos. No relation.
My cursor was just hovering over that. I was like, wait, what?
To who? To you?
Or the 500 Dos Santoses that are in Canadian soccer.
Exactly.
The other ones.
Trey Santos, yes. Quattro Santos, regular Santos. My favorite part though is this motherfucker is a man of mystery. Birthplace unknown, USA. So I'm now riveted by this. I don't know, where's he from? Player that
from parts unknown.
Parts fucking unknown. Yeah,
is that the Ultimate Warrior? Was that his thing?
Yes, parts unknown. Yeah,
yeah.
That's hilarious.
I mean, I bet he doesn't shake the ropes like him, but
no, that's probably a lot of steroids. Not. Oh, Forsberg, another one. What? Actually, I forgot that's where he was. Who else? Choupo-Moting. Oh, you
yes.
Really?
He's German, apparently.
Yeah.
Oh,
there you go.
At least he was born there. Yeah.
Eric Maxime, indeed. Oh, well, that's quite the name. He's a DP. All right, he's barely playing as a designated player, but sure, yeah. Maybe you're just
Toronto's knows a bit about that.
So. Yeah, I was just gonna say, like, is it you taking a like Michael? Don't take a leaf out of Toronto's book too hard.
Maybe he inherited it.
Perhaps. Oh, good point. Good point. Oh my goodness. All right, sorry. I will look at that after. Okay, so yes, we have some players of significance and then just some players that we find interesting. Predictions for this historic match, gentlemen.
1-0 to New York. They score their goal in the 80-somethingth minute, and the cushion-holding crowd doesn't take it well.
Ooh, okay.
I was gonna say, how many cushion? We need a prop bet on how many cushion-related injuries there will be.
I'm not prop betting nothing that won't get.
Don Garber is, Don Garber's betting like for 2,000 of them. I heard. Someone needs to investigate that fucker.
100%. I am going to go for 2-0 Toronto.
Oof.
And the goals will come fast. Like, both goals will be, like, within the first 20 minutes. And everybody's going to be holding on to it, thinking it's going to be a gold fest, and doesn't happen. But in the final whistle, it'll rain. It'll rain sea cushions.
Oh, boy. I think... 2-1 victory to Toronto. Seat cushions everywhere. And somehow people keep scooping them up and they get... What I'm envisioning is that someone picks them up off the pitch and just keeps filtering them back into the stands. So they can just keep getting... Like, just like a little... Like, not an official conveyor belt. Like, there wouldn't be an actual contraption, but, you know, something like that. Just in order to continue to have a continuous showering of the seat cushions.
I like that idea. And completely inadvertent, it's just somebody, oh, holy shit, there's all these things here on the pitch. We've got to throw them off. And the only thing to do is kind of like throw them over the advertising boards and they go back into the crowd. People pick them up and just throw them back on. And they're just constantly filtering round and round and round and round. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm like totally here for that. Well, okay.
Yeah, is stoppage time, is that the amount of stoppage time something you can place prop bets on?
Oh god, yeah. Yeah, World Cup stoppage time's got nothing on cushion time, right? You know, hilarious.
Let's hope.
Yeah.
So yeah. But on these hopeful notes, that is our show for this week. Please join us next week when we see what Cushion Gate was like, and see if any other CanPL or NSL teams announce academies or expanded academies or pathways or professional pathways.
Watch it.
I didn't say anything about trailblazing.
No, you said pathways.
But they started it.
That's us.
Yeah. Copyrighted, trademarked.
But also, we will we'll start to look ahead to some of the Canadian men's national team matches that are coming up at the end of the month here in Toronto. Also, tickets just went on sale for the match against Ireland, which everyone seems very excited about. So that's good. There's lots of things happening. It's soccer palooza, people. Get ready. It's coming. All right. I would like to thank these two delightful gentlemen for joining me, as always. To be found out there on the Twitters, at Duncan D. Fletcher, Mr. Duncan Fletcher.
Yeah.
On the Tweet Machine, at KitNerdMark with a K, not a Q, Mr. Mark Hinckley.
Thank you to everybody who continues to support our podcast, listening, donating to our Patreon. We appreciate it. Yeah, you can find those links on our website. And I really hope that Brazil Toronto Legends game is the prices are reasonable.
I forgot we did. Yeah, we'll talk about that next week too.
Tickets go on sale soon tomorrow. Yep. Maybe when this gets posted, might be too late. Anyway,
I will be eagerly checking that out, to see how outrageous the prices are, but hoping that they're reasonable. Please let them be reasonable. Because that would be actually kind of fun.
Yeah.
Anyway. All right. Well, that is it for us this evening. Did I do my outro? I don't think I did.
As for me, no.
As for me, you can find me on the internet. Yes, the entire internet. KZ Knowles. I've been your host, Krista Knowles. And until next week, Canada, get used to it.
An hour 47, Mark?
No, but Kristen tried.
I did.
You really, really tried. But 1:34, 1:35.
Oof, wow.
Hey. What?
I'm ending it now. You can't do this to us. You can't do this to us.
Good night.